Welcome. My name is Tataka Bricka, chair of the KPFK local station board. It is Sunday, the 14th of June, 2026, and it is now 10:39 a.m. Pacific time. I call this meeting to order, and I first of all want to do Spanish language programming. Spanish language translation. For any LSB member who needs access to Spanish language translation during the KPFK LSB meeting, we suggest you use the Zoom technology tools and or contact Rodrigo Argueta for assistance. I also want to welcome Carol Wolfley, who will serve as meeting manager or advisor for this meeting at the pleasure of the chair. Thank you, Carol. And now I want to introduce Evelia Jones for an important message about elections. Evelia.
Thank you. The LSB will not be discussing the Pacifica 2026 election today in order to prevent unequal use of Pacifica resources. The following resources are available for information about the election. Get your pencils if necessary. 1. Pacifica at electionbuddy.com. I repeat, Pacifica at electionbuddy.com. For questions and procedures about nominations. 2. For information about the election process, timeline, procedures, and fair campaign provisions. People may write to capital N, capital E, capital S. At pacifica.org. I repeat, for information about the election process, timeline, procedures, and fair campaign provisions, people may also write to NES, capitalized, at pacifica.org. The following is from communications from the NES. To all local station board chairs, Pacifica is now in our 2026 election set season. LSBs and other Pacifica committees are not authorized to host election events or to allow candidate presentations, campaign organizing, and campaigning through any Pacifica meetings, town halls, and events. The 2026 fair campaign provisions came in full effect on June 1st, 2026, and are at elections.pacifica.org/2026-fair-campaign-provisions/. I repeat, you can get campaign, fair campaign provisions at elections.pacifica.org/2026-fair-campaign-provisions/. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelia. Okay, let's do the roll call and establishment of quorum and call the secretary to do that or the vice chair. Or maybe you can work together on it. Are you up for doing that?
This is Nikki Hahn. I'm ready, but if
are you ready, Ruth? Do you have the material, or do you, let's go with Nikki and work this together. Go ahead, Nikki.
Okay. Rodrigo Argueta Vargas.
Yes, here.
Thank you. Christina Avalos. I'll come back. Marisol Bielma.
She asked for an excused absence.
Thank you. And Tatanka.
Presente.
Thank you. Rachel Brunke. Ninel Centeno. Ariana Gladney. But
Ninel asked for an excused absence also. So when we get to that, we'll bring that up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jan. Ariana Gladney. Jan Goodman.
I'm here.
I'll mark myself present.
All right. Here I go.
Ian Johnston.
Here.
Thank you. Valia Jones.
Here.
Thank you. Chapasa Luchembe. Brenda Martinez. Jack Neff.
Here.
Thank you. Nancy DeParco.
I'm here.
Thank you. Robert Payne. Myla Reason.
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Janine Roan. Lee Thorpe.
Present. Present. Thank you.
Janine Roan is present. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. And I heard you, Lee. Thank you. Oscar Ulloa. Harvey Wasserman.
I'm here.
Thank you. Adam Woolman.
Here.
Carlos Zavala.
He's asked for an excused absence.
Okay. All right. And I don't believe we need to ask Ace. Okay. And I'll go back through. Let's see. Christina Avalos.
Sorry, I just wanted to butt in. I have Jack Neff on the list. Is he on your list, or do I need to amend something?
I have Jack on the list, and he's present.
Okay.
Thank you for checking. Okay, so Christina, I heard nothing from Christina Avalos. Rachel Brunke. Okay, Ariana Gladney. Chapasha Luchembe. Brenda Martinez. Robert Payne. Oscar Ulloa.
It's Trump's birthday today.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Sorry, someone is on. Everyone could please mute yourselves. Okay, let's count how many are present.
Well, there is no quorum, actually, no?
I believe there is, but let me check quickly.
Can you count the number, please?
Yes, Rodrigo, one moment.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think you may want to ask everyone to not interrupt during the meeting without being recognized by the chair. If they need to speak, they could raise their hands.
Yes, please. Let's get to the order of business and not speak up when not called upon.
We have 13 present. Let's see how many absent. Well, we have 13 present at least. So okay. I believe, is that not quorum?
And that is quorum. Do you want to read off the names?
Of those present or?
Of quorum.
Mr. Chair, I think that's not necessary.
Okay, let's move ahead. Land back acknowledgement is Avelia Jones.
The KPFK-LSB acknowledges that we operate on the traditional territories of many nations. We acknowledge that these nations and any others who care for the land, acknowledged and unacknowledged, recorded and unrecorded, as the past, present, and future caretakers of this land. We seek to live in respect, peace, and right relations with them as we live and work upon their traditional territory. We make a collective commitment to keep truth and reconciliation real in our communities and in particular to bring justice for murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls across the country. We also want to acknowledge the context in which we work, where we navigate, bear witness to, and risk upholding oppressive systems each day. We know that social and reproductive justice are impossible without including Indigenous voices and prioritizing access to Indigenous-led and culturally safe reproductive health care. We acknowledge that forced sterilization, forced abortion, forced travel to unknown regions for basic health care, risk of child apprehension, violence from health service providers are not issues of the past only. We commit to seeking and uplifting Indigenous voices to better understand the unique and intersecting barriers they face when accessing health care, and we ask you to join us in doing so, including all other humanitarian needs. This is our land back acknowledgement.
Thank you, Avelia. Okay, 1.5, timekeeping. I want to thank Nancy Naparco for our timekeeping again. It's the 60-90-second rule, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, may I recognize? This is Myla.
Certainly, Myla. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that Mecca Ariana Gladney has entered the Zoom, and I believe Ace Estwick may be here as well at under the KPFK 90.7.
Okay. Secretary, will you note Ariana Gladney?
Well, she has to say something.
Oh, yeah. Ariana, can we hear you? Presente? We need to hear a voice.
Maybe unmute yourself, Ariana.
I raised my hand. I had a question. So if you give me the voice, then I'm going to talk without.
Rodrigo?
Yeah, I just went.
Wait a second. We're in the middle of taking a roll here. Okay.
Yeah, but you're taking somebody else.
Rodrigo, just wait. I will recognize you. I don't have to warn. I don't want to have to warn you throughout this meeting.
Yeah, I don't need you. I don't need your permission, my friend. I just want to be verified with the people.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Go ahead.
The member is not recognized by the chair to speak at this time.
If he continues,
you may need to inform him.
I understand. Okay. Did we hear anything from Ariana, which was impossible to hear with the member speaking? Oh, thank you. Okay.
Rodrigo?
Am I a signal?
The chair recognizes Rodrigo. Does this have anything to do at all with what we're doing? Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Yeah, of course it does. No.
Mr. Chair, this is Carol.
I will recognize Carol. I am calling on the meeting manager, Carol Rodrigo.
Chair, you may want to ask if it's a point of order, and if so, what rule is being broken?
Point of order. It's okay. A point of order.
Okay, go ahead, Rodrigo. What is the rule that's been broken? Thank you.
No. I'm asking to verify the quorum of this meeting. That's all.
The quorum was simply verified. Thank you.
How? How many people do we have?
We are not present. We had 13. We now have 14. Now let's go ahead with the meeting. Thank you, Rodrigo. Okay. So please, on minutes, please submit any written corrections to the KPFK secretary at KPFK secretary 90.7@gmail.com. I'm going to read the agenda now. Number two, we have reports of management and Pacifica National Board reports for 15 minutes. We have our IGM report with Ace Estwick and an ED report with a Pacifica National Board member. Number three, we have the replacement of Ace Estwick election and voting instructions. That will be 10 minutes. And old business, LSB discussion, potential outreach goals and methods, 10 minutes. New business, 5 minutes. LSB member community announcement, 5 minutes. And then public comment by organizations per the resolution passed at the February 2026 LSB meeting. Organizations should sign up by emailing kpfksecretary90.7@gmail.com. This is a time certain 11:30 up to 30 minutes, and then adjournment by noon. That is the reading of the agenda. So we are now on reports of management and the PNB reports, and the chair recognizes Ace Estwick.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ace.
Rather than walk through a list, first I want to thank everybody for being here on a Sunday, taking time out of their precious weekend. I want to take a step back and speak honestly about the moment that Community Radio and KPFK are in, because the ground is shifting underneath all of us, and our path, KPFK's path, depends on seeing it clearly. The fund drive model is straining. Our spring fund drive brought in about $160,000 against a $200,000 goal, roughly 80%. We could frame that as a KPFK problem to fix. It isn't, or not only. Across our sister stations in the network, across the affiliate network, and beyond, this spring the same story repeated. Drives coming in well under goal, even at the flagship. The pledge drive model that built Pacifica, the pledge drive model that Pacifica built over 60 years, is delivering less with each cycle. Listeners are stretched, the media landscape is far noisier, and the marathon on-air asks reach fewer people than they used to. This is structural, and pretending otherwise would be doing you a disservice. At the same time, the cost of simply keeping a station on the air keeps climbing. Tower, transmitter, utilities, insurance, software, compliance. We're getting squeezed from both sides. The old revenue model is softening, fixed costs are rising, and any honest plan forward has to reckon with both. Our oldest strength is our people, and here's where I land, is, and why I need this board. Money has never been the only currency that's kept KPFK alive, and historically it wasn't even the main one. The station was built by people who gave their time, and right now we need volunteers more than at any point in recent memory. Not as a nice to have, but as our core infrastructure. There's real work that volunteers can own, from audio production and editing, video and social media to carry our content beyond the signal, event production, community outreach, and fund drive support. These are meaningful roles, not just envelope stuffing. The fund drive format hasn't evolved much since 1959. It's the same tote bags we were selling back then, with just slightly more desperation in our voices. The hopeful part to me is that the same forces pulling people out of their cars are putting them on their phones. Online is now where engagement happens, where discovery happens, and increasingly where revenue lives. It's an open door, not a threat. On a phone, there's no signal radius. There are no FCC regulations. We can reach a listener in Boyle Heights or in Bangor on demand any hour with video, podcast, social. That's where the audiences have been forming, and we're only beginning to meet them there. But we don't abandon the signal. We're stewards. I want to be clear about this. We're stewards. We hold something almost no one else does, the 90.7 FM signal that blankets Southern California, and a legacy running back to 1959, one of the founding voices, the original nonprofit community-supported radio, not only in Los Angeles, but in the country and in the world. We will never trade that away for a screen. Our work now is to carry this amazing legacy onto the platforms where people actually live now, to be on the air and everywhere else. The signal is the inheritance. Our job is to grow it, not just pawn it off. So please, doing both at once takes people. Like I said, more than money, we need volunteers right now. We need people who can shoot and edit videos, run our social channels, produce, help with events and outreach. We have a event coordinator for the first time in my tenure at KPFK, and we've built a real onboarding stack, orientation, one-on-ones to match skills to needs. You, the LSB, are our front line. The single most valuable thing this board can do this month is bring people through the door. Send them to us, please. The world is hard right now. The old model is tired, but I'm genuinely hopeful because what we steward, what we have here is a rare thing, and the door in front of us is wide open. Our signal isn't going anywhere. Our job now is to make sure that decades from now, someone stands in this room and says the exact same thing. Together, let's widen the circle. Thank you.
Thank you, Ace. You have any other comment at all? That's a good short report. Any other comment at all about business?
Like I said, we came in about 80% against our fund drive goal. Unfortunately, the U.S. war in Iran is playing a real and tangible effect. People are driving less. You may have noticed that in your own lives on the roads, which, you know, I guess that's one small respite is that Angelenos are less incentivized to drive. But when people are in their cars, they're listening to KPFK, and our revenues are down about 20% since the war began in February. So we're fighting an uphill battle, but I think we will win.
Thank you.
Not the war, but the battle for the station.
Yeah. Thank you. Of course. Okay. Pacifica National Board report, and this includes the ED report. And who do I have for that?
I have a point of order. May I be recognized?
Yes, certainly, Myla.
Yeah, I think that we skipped over accepting the excused absences.
Oh, yes, we did. We did.
And I think we should restate that we had the minutes that people can review and make corrections on.
I read that off, Dan.
I know. Yeah. It just went so fast.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's go back to the excused absence. Thank you. That's a protocol that we always observe. As I see it, what I heard was Marisol Bulima, Bielma, Ninel Centeno, and Carlos Zavala all asked, was there anyone else? I don't believe, but did you hear any more? Secretary or?
This is Lee Thug. Okay. I'd like to motion for an excusal of Chipasha Lachembe. He had a last minute emergency come up.
Okay. And Chipasha Lachembe. Lachembe. Okay. That would be those four. So are there any objections to granting excused absences to all four by any member here?
This is Rachel Brunke. I'm here.
Yeah. Hi, Rachel. So Rachel is now presenting. Well, okay, with no objection, hearing no objection, we do extend excused absence to those four members. And then back to your other point, any written corrections to the KPFK secretary agenda, minutes, any written corrections, the minutes go to KPFK secretary. And that is at KPFK secretary 90.7@gmail.com. Okay. Now we're at 2.3 Pacifica National Board Report. So one of the Pacifica National Board members, I don't know who is responsible for that, but was going to read the ED report and make any other comments. So who is that board member? That would be either Jan or Evelia or Myla or any other board member. You have a board report here. And if you're speaking, nobody is.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I have my hand up. Do we not have an opportunity to ask questions of people making reports?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Carol.
I think we've moved on the agenda.
Yes.
So I think report questions to the general manager are no longer appropriate, but questions regarding that ED report would be appropriate.
Okay.
But I have my
hand
raised. Thank you. It was not recognized.
Thank you. So I'm in the middle of a question of who is giving this report right now.
Jan Goodman, but you could call on Rodrigo. His hand was up.
I don't see the hand, but that's okay.
I think we just talked about that, Jan, that we are on a different matter right now. Go ahead with your – I think Jan should go ahead with
that. That was Ian, the other matter.
I also have my hand up. So I don't know who –
Yeah, we both had our hands up throughout the whole report.
Yeah, we have it.
We need to wait for my calling on you. And Ian, I heard your question, and I would have loved to heard that as well, on the earlier report, but that will stand. We will have questions on the next report since we passed that. Okay, Rodrigo, I recognize you now. Go ahead, Rodrigo, and please don't interrupt me or I'm going to have to put you in the waiting room. Go ahead.
I don't give a damn about that, you know, but whatever. So the thing is that, When the GM was talking, we should be allowed to ask questions, because the thing is that, we are
responsible
for KPFK. Can I finish, my friend? Can I finish, please? So don't be disrespectful, man. So when we are responsible for KPFK, we have to ask, right? There is like the World Cup, and the World Cup is not covered. You know how many billions of people saw the inauguration of the World Cup? How many minutes did we dedicate to the World Cup? Nothing. So how are we going to get people? There was like about 1.2 billion people worldwide watch the global opening. So how many minutes did we dedicate to that and issues like that? So that's the thing. You know, we have to ask questions to our IGM. How come, you know, we are not able to do it? I don't understand. I mean, whatever, you rule these meetings and you do it your way. But frankly, you got to think yourselves, you know, what you guys are doing. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. I have a question for my meeting management advisor, Carol Wolfley. Is there any way at another point before we finish here, if Ace is present, that we can take 5 minutes and have questions for him?
I see that Ian's hand is raised, so I would say call on Ian, give him the allotted time, and then move on.
Okay.
I believe you did ask for questions. I did not see those hands.
Okay, I don't know why I didn't see him.
But let's honor it and give him an opportunity of the normal time. And is somebody doing timing?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so Ian, the chair recognizes you, and go ahead, Ian.
So my question is, how does KPFK's fundraising compare to competition like KPCC? Are they having a hard time making their budget? $200,000 is, it was like a good afternoon at one point in, as a goal. I remember we had a 10-day fund drive. We cut short at 8 days with $1 million goal. So is the problem just that we aren't offering people anything that they find worth their time and money?
Okay, thank you. That's a worthwhile question, and I think that actually could come under the report now. So who is giving the national report to read the EDU report and other matters? Go ahead, Jen.
Well, that was supposed to be directed towards Ace from the last report because his hand was up, and I thought you were recognizing him to ask Ace a question because, and Carol, you know.
Okay, his hand was up, okay. So. All right, Ace, are you present?
Ace, you're muted.
I would like to make a comment as a business sponsor.
Just a second, please. Don't interrupt the chair. I don't know who's speaking, but we're waiting
Mr.
on
Chair,
Ace now.
Ace has not responded, so I would say go on to Jan's report.
Okay, that's good. Go ahead, Jan.
This is going to be both the executive director. I'm going to refer to both the executive director report and PNB report also, Pacifica National Board Director report. And I'm not going to read the executive director report because it is really long. It's attached to the agenda and people are invited to look at it. And I believe that the agenda was posted so that even people who are just listening to us online can refer to it. So that being said, just to let people know, because the audits are always something that are important, even though they seem boring, and maybe are boring to some people, obviously are boring to some people, but nevertheless, the audits are going forward now. The fiscal year 22 and 23 audits should be done by the end of July, so another month and a half, they should be done. And then the current, the 24 and 25 audits, which would bring us current, will be done by November of 2026. So I think that this is really important for us to be moving forward, and I won't go into how we got sidetracked from doing that right now. There's material in there about the elections, but we can't talk about it this meeting, crazily. One of the things that I think is really important is that making contact, which was founded by Norman Solomon, has entered an agreement with Pacifica Foundation so that we will be producing a Making Contact into the future. And this is a really good opportunity for Pacifica to both advance Pacifica's mission and to advance the mission of Making Contact. And the Making Contact, for people who don't know, is totally aligned with our mission, and they report on underreported issues, community-based solutions, and voices often excluded from mainstream media coverage. So this is a great programming opportunity for Pacifica, and it's a reaffirmation of our historic role in being a leader in independent and mission-driven media, and I'm hoping that we will be carrying it on KPFK. And the people who are going to be in charge of the ongoing production of the program will be Dan Pavlish, Ace Estwick, Maggie LaPique, and Nora Corey, all from KPFK. So I guess for sure, pretty sure it ought to be on KPFK. Pacifica has been involved in trying to put together our team directory of people who were formerly called unpaid staff. Now they're called team members, and we're working very hard to finish putting that together. It's been an enormous task, and because we haven't had any real list, including verification, at least minimal verification of people's hours, up until now. And so that will be a great accomplishment when that's finished. And in the report, it goes into all of the steps that are being taken around that. There's also reports about fund drives at all of the stations for people who are interested in that. There's also discussion about media partnerships and cultural programming, and we're doing a lot of that. But I do want to mention a couple of things that we're sponsoring, because I think they're really important, have sponsored and will sponsor. One is the Sacred Music and Healing Festival that occurred in Leimert Park. And then we did one at the Alex Theater in Glendale called Tango Elite. And they had, Elite.
5 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, 5 minutes to go too.
Oh, okay. Five minutes to go. Yeah. Because that's the ED report and my, director report being combined.
Yeah.
We're also going to be co-sponsoring media sponsoring the Theatricum Botanicum's Repertory Theater in Topanga Canyon. And I really urge people to attend those. They're great plays and they're out in the open and you can take a picnic. It's a great thing to do. And then on July 17th, we're going to be the media sponsor of Omar Sosa and the Cuarteto Americanos at Catalina Jazz Club. He's a Grammy nominated Cuban pianist and his acclaimed ensemble, and don't miss it. So just to report that we, raised $7,000 as a result of the Amy Goodman, show film screening and her participation. So that is a great win for us. I think I am going to end there. Okay. So we can save a few minutes. Everything.
Thank you, Dan.
People have questions, they can ask. And just one more thing, and that is that we are in the midst of union contract. Pacifica as a whole is in the midst of union contract negotiations for the four stations that are that have union contracts. And so we're trying to bring those to a conclusion. It's always when you have a nonprofit doing union negotiations, On the one hand, you're trying to save money because you're broke. On the other hand, we need to pay money because people have to make a living. And so it's always difficult, but we're struggling through it.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Thank you, Jan. Before I call on people with their hands raised, I do want to say that I have noted, and I think in the future, we definitely need to leave time for member questions of ED report and board reports. So I think that is really spot on. Ian, is this a legacy hand or a new one? And then Nikki.
It's a new one.
Okay, go ahead, Leanne. Chair recognizes you.
Yeah, so Dan Pavlish was Mark Cooper's producer. That's a blast from the past. Mark from the Allende coup as well as the Pacifica coup. How was he selected? Was this publicly posted, and why? Thank you.
I have no idea.
A point of order.
Go ahead.
And in addition, let me just say this.
Point of order.
Okay, Chair recognizes a point of order.
Slandering people is not in order. And really, Carol, isn't there a rule about that?
Yes, there is no personal attacks or making accusations against other people in the meeting.
Let me also say
is Mark Cooper in the
personnel,
meeting.
Jared, I haven't recognized anybody but Carol so far. Okay, so that has been spoken. We're running behind on things, so I am going to call Nikki. You put your hand down. Is that up? Does a thumbs up mean it's
sorry,
down?
Sorry, is Nikki. No, my hand is down. Thank you.
Okay, all right. And Chair recognizes Janine Roan.
Hi, thank you. From the email that went out today at 9:30 with the agenda and the, it seems like it's an addendum with the ED report, there seems to be some financial document that looks like it's being referenced or was attached, but I don't see it as anything that we can open and look at. And I was wondering if somebody could confirm that that has either been sent to us or I just don't know whether it's in another email. If somebody could comment on that, a director. Thank you.
Okay. Any comment on that, Jen, or is this something that we can take up and sleuth out?
I think that she may be referring to this known aged payables as of 6/4/26 as being $623,355. I do not think that there was an attachment to that, if that's what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's
and may I, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Janine.
I have a follow-up, Chair, if I can be recognized, because
this is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah. So there, it's my understanding that the ED report comes in two forms. One is shareable. One is not shareable with LSBs. And it's my understanding that Jan sent out the shareable form. There may be other documents that will be, once they're finalized, will be sent, but they do not send out preliminary financial information.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Chair, may I be recognized for a follow-up?
Yes, go ahead, Janine.
Okay, as someone who regularly attended our finance committee meetings, when we had a finance committee or allowed to have one, I would say that they were and they have been shared with us, and it doesn't say that it's a preliminary. So I would urge the directors that we as LSB members are, you know, have been privy to this information and on behalf of who elected us, should have, you know, access to the financial information. So we would like to, if somebody can follow up and email us, the members, on what the status is and when we can expect to see financial information. It used to be on a monthly basis. Recently, it's been on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Janine. So may heard. I respond? And who is speaking?
Jan.
I don't know that it's next. Okay. Go ahead, Jan. Just, make it quick.
Just quickly. This is what I posted was the entire shareable, report. I think that the financial reports are important, and I will, try to send them as soon as we have a new quarterly one. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Chair recognizes Ace Estwick.
Hi. Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
I had to step away for a few moments. I heard my name, but I don't know what the context was.
Okay. I think, if we could have, Carol, could we have 2 minutes for a question and response at this point?
Where are we on the time?
We're way behind on time.
We only have 6 minutes until the,
I know. And I want people to have, you know, new business member announcements, et cetera. And we have to go through the replace S.
If whatever it is quick, I can be quick.
Okay. 1 minute. Okay. Go ahead. What is your question, Ian?
My question was, how does our fundraising compare to, say, KPCC's?
Okay.
Great. It's just a question of our lack of an audience and lack of, programming. That's
Thank
engaging.
You.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ace.
Okay. I don't have exact numbers on KPCC this quarter. They're a nonprofit like us, so they publish annual quarterly reports. I can tell you that they have cut more than 60 positions in the last few years. NPR has cut over 100 journalists as well. KCRW lost over a dozen staffers and canceled its daily show. KQED, I believe, just closed its third round of layoffs in the last 5 years. LAist has cut over, I think I already said KPCC. So the situation KPFK is in is not unique. This is a pressure felt across the sector.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the time for that. And this is endemic to what's going on in the society as a whole with everything we're going through politically. 3.0, replacement of Ace Estwick and voting instructions. I'm not going to take 10 minutes on this. We have Ace Estwick was a board member. We are taking nominations for his replacement. And if there are any nominees, we are going to take time right now. We'll come back to that. The OPA vote ballot will be sent to your email address. Write-ins will be acceptable. And to be counted, the complete ballot should be turned in within 2 weeks. That is by 11:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Sunday, June 28th, 2026. So there's 2 weeks for anybody that wants to run for this position to submit your ballots even up to that day. And at the next meeting, we will know who that person is. Okay.
Are we taking nominations now? Excuse me.
Yes. If there's anybody who wants to be now, let me just review what's going on here because we had a late start. It is now 11:27. There's no, the old business thing, which we were going to do about goals. We have to scrap that. The community announcements, would not have time for that. And, we have public comment period coming up in literally 2.5 minutes. So I don't know. Let's just get the names. Does anybody know that they're going to want to nominate somebody? I have Myla's hand and then Janine's and then Ian's.
And then
Jan's.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Go on to.
Well, that was a legacy hand. Okay, Janine, Ian, and then Jan. And this is why it's so difficult. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Janine.
My hand is raised for this, but also a legacy hand because I had a question for Ace. So I just would like to put that on the record that I wasn't allowed to ask Ace my question.
Okay, that's on the record.
But my nomination is for Rick Cooper because he was next in line for, he was a runner-up per the bylaws, the original bylaws
okay.
that have been following up Rick, until last year.
Okay, great. Rick Cooper is the name. We got it. We'll have time for all that when he puts his statement in. Anything else, Janine? And then Ian. Okay. Ian, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to nominate Sasha Karlick, who is the second runner-up from the last election.
Sasha Karlick. Great. Thank you. And Jan?
I'd like to nominate Maya Rogan.
Okay.
And she's a volunteer.
Okay.
She's a young woman, young Black woman.
Okay.
A volunteer at KPFK.
Okay. Thank you very much. Those three are noted. I would actually like to know, are there any LSB member community announcements in the 1 minute that we have left? Is that a legacy hand, Janine?
Vegas or whatever. One of his friends.
Look,
one of his friends. One of his doctors.
Me.
Who introduced him? Also
I don't know who. Sounds like there's a conversation going on. Okay, Ian, and then Ruth. Go ahead, Ian. 30 seconds.
I just wanted to make the announcement that it appears that one of our LSB members' shows was taken off the air.
Okay.
I have not been able to get
that. Mr. Chair, that is not a community announcement.
That's not a community announcement. There's lots of shows that are being taken off. Okay, Ruth, 30 seconds.
Yes, I wrote Ace about this, and this was subject to the board and anybody else's approval. There is a hands-off Cuba week that is going on at the end of this month, and there are film events on 3 days, and I did write Ace that KPFK might want to be a sponsor or have a table there if they are having tablings. I gave him the information. I'm just announcing it.
Okay.
Here.
Thank you. Jan, 30 seconds, and then we are at time certain right now.
I just wanted to say that Maya Rogan knows that she's being nominated.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Now it is community announcement time, time certain. I want to welcome the various speakers over the next 30 minutes that we're going to hear from. And I just want to say thank you so much for showing up. And I'm going to say everyone who is here and then the order that we have right now. So first, from the Dolores Huerta Foundation, we have April Abinabi. From the Volunteer Collective, we have Rick Stoff. From LA Street Poetry, we have Jorge Rodriguez. From CASA, we have Juan Jose Gutierrez. And from Social Justice Learning Institute, we have Derek Steele. All right. So, Jan, you have a question, and then we're going to start.
Yes, and I think that we can add back in the Latino Theater Company. I think Jessica Wilson is here.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. All right.
I'm not 100% sure, but that's
well, double check on that. I won't.
Okay. Jessica Wilson is here.
She is here.
Yes. Hi, I'm here.
Okay, great. All right. So let's keep this.
Anyway, whatever it is.
Dolores Huerta Foundation. April Abinabi, who's working with youth there. Are you presente? I don't see
Yes, it. I'm right here.
Okay, you're up. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Good morning, everybody. My name is April Bernabe. I am the program manager for the youth chapters here in Los Angeles. Some information about the work that we do. The Dolores Huerta Foundation, or DHF, was founded in 2003 by civil rights leader Dolores Huerta, her daughters, and longtime colleagues in the farm worker and social justice movements. DHF is based in California Central Valley and rooted in the organizing traditions of the farm worker movement. The foundation works across key issues, including civic engagement, education equity, health and safety, and LGBTQIA+ equality. Through programs such as Vecinos Unidos or Neighbors United, DHF has trained and mobilized thousands of residents, primarily low-income, Latino, and immigrant families, to advocate for improved schools, expanded access to healthcare, safer neighborhoods, and more equitable public policies. In 2012, the Dolores Huerta Foundation joined the statewide California Calls Alliance to build voter power. Over the last 13 years, we have built a nonpartisan base of 79,000 supportive voters in Kern and Tulare counties. DHF is just one of 31 organizations in the California Calls Alliance working to engage, educate, and motivate new and infrequent voters among young people from communities of color and from poor and working class neighborhoods to make California's electorate reflect our state's diverse population. DHF continues to expand its impact through innovative programs and initiatives, including the development of the Peace and Justice Cultural Center in Bakersfield, which will serve as a permanent hub for organizing, leadership development, and cultural empowerment in the Central Valley. Building on that commitment to cultivating leadership and strengthening communities, one of our largest efforts is our youth programming. We recently expanded our programming into Los Angeles County, further growing our reach and deepening our engagement with local youth communities. Today, our youth-led program serves young people in the Central Valley, East Los Angeles, and the San Gabriel Valley. At its core, our work is about helping young people understand their role in their communities and recognizing the power of their own voice. Everything we do is shaped by their passions, their interests, their talents, and the issues they care most about. We create spaces where youth can express themselves through art, storytelling, culture, and civic engagement. Our goal is simple but transformative. We want to help young people become informed, engaged, and empowered advocates for themselves, their families, and their neighborhoods. And the beauty of this work is that every young person brings something different. Whether someone is passionate about education, the arts, social justice, mental health, or improving their community, we help them turn that passion into action. This action that ripples into their schools, their homes, and their communities. When young people are given the tools, support, and space to lead, they become powerful agents of change. Our program helps youth find their voice, strengthen their leadership, and transform their communities. For more information on our work or our youth chapters, please reach out to me, April Bernabe, at 805-504-1204. That's 805-504-1204. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, April. Abernabe, I got the pronunciation right. Okay, next up we have, and thank you for the time, keeping the time. And Nancy, it is 5 minutes max, and give him a notice at 4 minutes. Sorry about that. Latino Theater Company, do we have a representative now?
Hi, yes. My name is Jessica Wilson, and I'm actually here with my partner, too, Jorge Coqui Rodriguez. He's also present.
Okay, welcome. Go ahead. You got it.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Wilson. I'm with the Los Angeles Poet Society, and I am a founding member of the Los Angeles Street Poetry Festival. And we want to invite you to join us for our third annual Los Angeles Street Poetry Festival. It's Poesía de Resistencia y Amor that takes place at the Latino, at the Los Angeles Theater Center, home of the Latino Theater Company. And this is going to be on August 22nd from 10 to 4 p.m. And we're offering an intergenerational presentation of poetry, performances, writing workshops, with an open mic for the people. And we're also welcoming booksellers or independent vendors that may want to join us. This is a free community event. Again, August 22nd from 10 to 4. And we have some incredible performers already booked for the event, including one of the Justice 8 survivors and who is now liberated, Jag Ariola. He will be there performing and sharing spoken word. But we do invite everyone to participate. We're partnering with Get Lit, which is a youth-led literary arts organization, and also the National Writers Union is one of our sponsors as well. And again, we welcome everyone to join us. If you want more information to participate, you can reach out via email to losangelespoetsociety@gmail.com. And I'm going to pass it to my comrade, Jorge.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. More so than invite you, we'd like you to collaborate with us in helping us. We started this 3 years ago. I'm one of the founding members, along with Jessica and Ray Rodriguez, an author, lawyer. And our objective is to build a literacy capital among the youth of the country here by promoting and building the landscape of young voices in Los Angeles, across cultural and, you know, and not too generational, but generational lines. Like the first year, just to give an example, we hired the LA Theater Company students from their summer conservatory, and we paid them. We pay every performer, and we wanted to instill in the youth that they were getting their first union check in a union house and build that consciousness, not only about the spoken word, but class consciousness about their participation. And we've, you know, LATC, the LA Theater, Latino Theater Company has allowed us to be, use their space graciously, to put our event. And Jessica is the operations, person. And as a matter of fact, she is, Jefa de Poesia of LA. So, she has guided us and brought together a lot of great, poets. So, what we would like is for you to collaborate with us, especially since this is important for the community and it crosses the landscape and fiber of Los Angeles. And we would like you to be a sponsor, and support us. You know, we don't want to invite you. We want you to participate actively in promoting this event. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jorge and Jessica. Very, really exciting work. Okay, next we have a volunteer collective, Rick Stoff.
Thanks. No, I don't have a PowerPoint. I just barely was able to change my name on the Zoom. So, Jan, thanks. Thanks to you guys. Listen, we're in the same, volunteer collectives in the same place as KPFK. We're there, to rally the community about our neighbors in need. I'm a retired guy who started this. We are an organization that basically engages people to volunteer at the nonprofits that are already serving our neighbors in need. And, we started, you know, I started as a retired guy. I'd worked at Christmas for many years, helping people find jobs. We were doing this to get our friends off their couches, people who want to say they want to help, but really don't do much. So, you know, the theory behind volunteerism, why people don't do it, why they don't help out, why they don't go in is they're either too busy or there's databases that they can't sift through. But the biggest reason they say they didn't volunteer in surveys was that nobody ever asked them. So we're just out there asking people and giving them opportunities where they can go locally, whether it's a food bank to help feed people or tutoring a kid or driving for Meals on Wheels or any of the things you can do where the nonprofits need you. All those years I worked at Chrysalis, we could never have helped people find jobs unless people came in and helped with resumes and practice interviews and worked in the clothing closet. But as a guy who does this as a volunteer himself, goes around to churches and businesses and other organizations trying to get people to volunteer, what buoys me every day is organizations like are on this phone call. There are so many people out there trying to do things that help their neighbors. It's amazing. Of course, the need is gigantic. But if you have any question in your mind that hearts can be opened, and I'm not saying this is an easy thing, but just look at all of what happened last year. Where normally 500 or 1,000 people might come through my website, we had the fire relief stuff up right away in January. 30,000 people came through in 1 month looking for ways to help their neighbors. Their hearts can be opened. It doesn't stay that way. It's not a sustainable thing month, but it's there. The same thing happened to a lesser degree when the ICE raids started and people were looking for ways to go to some of the nonprofits that were helping people, you know, shop and do things where they were afraid to go to the market. And then it was about to happen again in a big way when the SNAP benefits were interrupted and people were ready to do food donations and stuff like that. We were organizing it. Of course, they relented at that moment, but it'll be back. So much of what is needed is a sense of community. And maybe it took us years. We got thrown back years by COVID, but people came out last year and reacted to things. And I think, well, we think they will keep doing this in the future. So we're going to be putting up volunteer opportunities engaging people around the community, telling KPFK what we're doing, and just giving people the opportunity to help their neighbors. Some will, some won't, but more and more will, we think. And of course, we're going to be facing crises all year long for the people that are struggling economically. And so we're going to try and do it. So I hope we can be partners in that and just keep informing each other of what's going on and what's needed. And thanks. You know, a guy like me always loves people listening to his rap. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for your work. Okay. Next up is LA Street Poetry with Jessica Wilson.
We spoke earlier in regards to...
The theme of our event, which I think Jessica talked about it real briefly, if I can take just 30 seconds.
No, go ahead. You were under time, so take a minute.
Okay, so our theme has always been resistencia y amor, resistance and love, because we need to be able to have resistance, but show love and unity. As a famous man said, a revolutionary is guided by the love of his people. That was Che Guevara. And so we think it's really important to blend the resistance with love and unite as many people as possible. And we really appreciate the time. We really are interested in KPFK becoming a sponsor, collaborator with us, because this goes out to young people. And we're partnering with Get Lit, who you guys know about. Amazing group. They do a lot of work in high schools. They're now in middle schools. Their literacy program. And we think it's really important to showcase and build the youth so they can have an opportunity to perform at these big stages and never get an opportunity. They're helping us run workshops. A lot of the young poets are going to be reading in every workshop that we have. They're going to be running the open mic during the lunchtime. And then we have a main performance at the end, which Jessica, the amazing work has put together, the whole operations of our event. So we really would appreciate, and also I'm a member of the Writers Union as well. And so we would definitely would appreciate your time and consideration in helping us build this event. Thank you.
Okay. Gracias, Jorge. Okay. Now we have Juan Jose Gutierrez with CASA. Juan Jose here. Okay. We had another dropout. You know what? We've reclaimed some time. Thank you. Thank you so much. We have several things we didn't have time for, and we can squeeze some in now.
You have Derek Steele.
Oh, I'm sorry. Derek. I forgot that. I knew there was one more. Okay, Social Justice Learning Institute. Derek Steele, please take it away. Sorry about that. Is Derek present?
Mr. Chair, while we're waiting for Derek, can we make note that, and this is Myla, may I be recognized? I'm sorry.
Yes, you may be recognized.
I don't think that Oscar Ulloa was here for roll call, and I know he's here with us, so you might want to have him speak and note his attendance at the meeting.
Okay, Oscar, are you present? We can note you for the roll call.
Yeah, it's on for something.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and Madam Secretary noted that.
Look at Juan Jose thought you guys were going to contact him. It was miscommunication, but he wants to get on if he's allowed to.
Oh, great. No, I thought he got everything he needed. It was sent back out and, great. You contact him and we'll get him on right away. And meanwhile, Jan, do you just want to, I think you were the one.
I send it to you right now. It's there. Okay, bye-bye. No. Email. Just get on.
I'm seeing it. I mean, I'm here. I'm on my computer.
Well, that's interesting because I know I sent something and I know Dan sent something too, the whole list. So,
Mr. Chair, one thing you could do, it's Carol, you could allow him to speak through somebody's speakerphone.
Yeah.
If he's with Oscar or someone else.
Okay. On the phone. Jorge, if he can't get through, he can speak through his telephone.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He got off, but he's going to get on right now. I just sent him the link.
Oh, okay, great. While we're waiting for him, I know we were going to have time to talk about potential outreach goals and methods. And, I don't know if there are any other LSB member community announcements. So Jan, do you want to take just a moment and talk about that? Or do you want to, she's already on the phone as well. Okay, and Juan Jose should be here any moment. Thank you, everybody, for waiting.
Welcome, Juan Jose.
Oh, welcome, Juan Jose. Sorry about that. I don't know. I know a couple of us sent things to you. So take it away. You've got 5 minutes and to talk about your organization, Social Justice Learning Institute.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking on behalf of the Center for Autonomous Social Action, General okay. Brotherhood of Workers.
So okay.
That's CASA HGT. CASA was founded in 1968 by a renowned political activist by the name of Burr Corona, who was a labor and community organizer for many decades. He founded a whole series of organizations that were community-oriented, not-for-profit, and very community-based. He also was a professor at Cal State, LA. And of course, many of us, myself included, over the years, we joined this organization that had as its primary goal and objective to organize working men and women, primarily Latinos. You know, this was at the time of the civil rights movement, you know, and so we wanted to be part of the forces that try to elevate the working class to a level of consciousness where we could be part of the emancipation of working people of all races. But obviously, because of our ethnicity and so on and so forth, we focus on the Latino community. One of the primary political objectives from the get-go was to organize undocumented workers. It became apparent to Mr. Corona and those that followed him from the beginning and some of us later on that employers, whenever anybody tried to organize workers so they could negotiate collective bargaining agreements, they always use immigration authorities, at that time known as the Immigration and Naturalization Service, now ICE, you know, in the middle of a strike. You know, they would raid the strikes, arrest the people and deport them. And that way, allow the employer to win, at least temporarily, those battles. And so from the very get-go, over and beyond organizing, men and women, that did not have a labor union. We also focus on promoting, when it was not very popular, immigration reform, so that people that were undocumented could be legalized and eventually become U.S. citizens, so that they could be in a better position to win in this society and join the American working class fully. And so, quickly, we don't have a lot of time. I come to the present. We're still there. Presently, we continue to promote full rights for immigrants. We believe that they deserve to be legalized. They're part of the American working class. They work and they contribute. They've been waiting for over 40 years now to have a new amnesty. We had one back in 1986. We're all the better for it. Over 3 million formerly undocumented workers, 3.1 to be exact, were legalized under the Ronald Reagan signed Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, better known as the amnesty law. We haven't had anything like it in the last 40 plus years, and we think that the time has come for that. We're also promoting saving Social Security, unknown to a lot of people. One of the greatest achievements of working men and women in this nation through the presidency, one of the best presidents that we've had in the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in the New Deal. We got Social Security. It's about 90 years old. And unknown to most Americans nowadays is that, they keep talking in Congress about the fact that the Social Security Fund may become insolvent in about 6 years, so that by 2032, everybody across the board is confronting the very possibility that they will lose a full quarter of their Social Security benefits. According to experts, that would equate $500 per month of their paycheck, of their security benefits. That's $6,000 a year. About 23 million Americans rely entirely for their survival on the Social Security checks. So we're waging battle there. And we want to join with other organizations and network with them, because this affects everyone. And hopefully progressive groups across the nation will start reaching across everywhere and coming together, because we're all in this boat together. And unless we learn how to work together, we're not going to be able to overcome all these incredible historical challenges. So that's my spiel for CASA, Hermandad General de Trabajadores, Centro de Acción Social Autónomo, and in English, the Center for Autonomous Social Action, General Brotherhood of Workers. Thanks a lot for the opportunity to make this statement.
Gracias, Juan Jose. I had the honor, through Dolores Huerta and the UFW, I was organized to meet Mr. Bert Corona. So thank you very much for carrying on his legacy. Okay, we have Derek Steele. We have Derek Steele here, and he is going to present for Social Justice Learning Institute. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, go ahead, Derek. You've got 5 minutes max, then we're off.
No problem, man. Okay. Thank you very much for the time, space, and opportunity. And I just want to say, this moment that we are in, and I know we can all feel it, we're living through a period of deep uncertainty in many different ways. And families are struggling with affordability. Young people are carrying unprecedented levels of anxiety and loneliness, mental health challenges. Communities are navigating displacement, political division, shrinking public trust, and, a real fear about what federal overreach and economic instability could mean for our futures. And in communities like Inglewood, South LA, Los Angeles County, Houston, Texas, these pressures are not theoretical. These are deeply lived experiences. But one thing we have learned at the Social Justice Learning Institute is this, is that people do not experience problems one at a time. Young people don't wake up and experience education, separate from the issues with housing. Housing separate from mental health, or mental health separate from economic opportunity, food separate from dignity. They experience all of it all at once. And yet, our systems are often built to respond in fragments. So what the Social Justice Learning Institute is trying to build, you know, our work has been about building something different. You know, we're nearly two decades in our work, and we have worked to improve the education, health, well-being, and youth and communities of color, not by treating the symptoms in isolation, but by building pathways towards long-term stability, belonging, and opportunity. That means supporting young people academically through programs like our Urban Scholars Program and our Higher Pathways work of actually a continuum of 8 years of building the next generation of social impact leaders. You know, not just helping them graduate from high school, but also making sure that they are thriving in their lived experience as they move on. This means also advancing health equity through food distributions, urban agriculture, nutrition, education, physical wellness, and addressing the conditions that shape whether communities can actually be healthy through policy and advocacy. It means policy and systems work, helping communities shape decisions around care first investments, youth mental health, economic opportunity, and what public safety can look like when communities are resourced instead of punished. And also, increasingly, it means helping young people lead. You know, we have programs like Bold Vision, which is helping to make sure that BIPOC youth are thriving. The Social Good Fellowship that is really examining the depths of youth mental health and youth economic justice in the AI4 world that is coming. We are creating space for youth, not only simply to be heard, but to shape the future that they will inherit, particularly in Los Angeles, especially in this time frame as we are in the World Cup, but we got the Super Bowl around the corner, the Olympics coming up as well. There is a global lens in this region, and we are helping to make sure that our young people have a voice and what that lens looks like, and also what the future looks like post this moment in time. Because our young people are telling us something powerful. I can't do good in the world if I don't feel good. And I also can't feel good if I'm not positioned to do good to provide for myself. So mental health and economic opportunity are not separate issues. They are two sides of the same coin in their eyes. And through it all, you have to have place and space in order to do that. And like I said, we've been at this work for two decades, working it with school districts all across the region, from AV down to Long Beach, from the West Side to Pomona, you know, being able to serve over 600 students this year in our education work, distributing over a million
four minutes.
Thank you. Millions, a million pounds of produce a year ever since the pandemic. And we know that in order to take this work to the next level as we go into our second decade, 20 years in 2028, we have to have place and space to do that. And that's why we're building Sankofa Place, that's in Tenella and Inglewood. It's 120 units of affordable housing that will also serve as Echelon's permanent headquarters. But to be clear, it's not just a building, it's also an idea. It's an idea that affordable housing, youth development, health, culture, and community belonging should live in one ecosystem. So in closing, thank you for the time. And I think the deeper question in this moment is, how do we survive? And what can we build that can last? Because despite everything happening around us, I remain deeply hopeful that we can do that and we can do it together. I see young people imagining a future bigger than the conditions they inherited. I see community organizing. I see people refusing despair. And I believe our responsibility right now is to build infrastructure, physical, civic, cultural, relational, that makes flourishing possible for all communities, particularly in the Black community. And that is the work for us at SJLI. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Derek. And thank you, everyone. This has been really inspiring to hear from you all. We are at time certain. My name is Tatanka Bricka. I'm chair of KPFK Local Station Board. It is now 12:02 p.m. Our next meeting is Sunday, August 8th. I'm looking forward to hearing all the work that we are going to be doing on fundraising, media, and outreach goals. So thank you. I call this meeting adjourned.
We don't have a public comment. We don't have a public comment.
We are date certain. I declare the meeting and let's
one question
with the chair.
There is no public comment anymore?
No, there. No, we're at time certain. Please.
Does this organization know?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Carol.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, this is Carol. May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Carol.
I want to clarify for you that public comment was included in the presentations from the community. Thank you.
Okay. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all soon in the community and out there. Thank you all. Okay. Adios.
Thank you.
Yeah.